Turn with me to Genesis, the 11th chapter. The imagination is another aspect of the mind that that is necessary for you to understand and get control of. If you do not control your imagination, you will unknowingly paint a picture of your future that you don't want. That's the purpose of your imagination, is to paint a picture of the future. Now, I can go either way. You can paint a future that you don't want, or you can paint a future that you do want. And there's no such thing as neutrality in this. Other words, you're going to do one or the other. Listen to me, that you either going to paint the future that you want or paint the future that you don't want. Ain't no neutral. Ain't no blankness in this. Ain't no blank minds in this. So if that's the case, you might as well make the decision that you're going to use your imagination to paint the future that you want. Your imagination will help you find, even though your imagination is about future events, it will help you find present moment steps that will lead you to that future. Does that make sense? Now, let's get this straight. There's a difference between imaginations and fantasy. There's a difference. Another word for imagination we use is dreams. There's a difference between dreams and fantasy. Here's how you can always tell the difference between dreams and fantasy. Fantasy is something that just crazy, just far, just far-fetched. And the way you can tell the difference between a dream and a fantasy, and I'm going to use myself as an example. It's going to be a funny example. The way you can tell the difference between a dream and a fantasy is a fantasy will never give you a starting point. A dream will always give you a starting point. Funny example. It is fantasy for me to think that I can play in the NBA. It's fantasy. Right now for me to think I can play in the NBA. Because I ain't got no starting point. I don't want to work out to get in shape. I hope y'all grabbing this now. I don't want to do what it takes. I ain't got the height. Y'all understand that? Yes, well, my point, even though it's funny and it's comical, my point is that a dream will always give you a starting point. You will always have a starting point. Joseph's dream looked like a fantasy, but it had a starting point where it started, in the pit. Are you seeing this? The difference between a fantasy and a dream is that in a fantasy, you have no starting point, and when you hit a low point, it doesn't give you any way of getting out of the low point. A dream will always reveal itself. So even though some of your imaginations may be far-fetched. That don't mean they fantasy. They fantasy if you don't have a starting point. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Because a lot of times we have dreams that are fantasies, and sometimes we have fantasies that are dreams. And the difference is when we have a fantasy and it's really a dream, we really don't believe it. And so therefore we won't listen at the dream for the starting point. Then sometimes we have dreams that we think are dreams that are actually a fantasy. We can't find a starting point, so we wander around aimlessly trying to figure out how we're going to get this done. Am I making sense?
Yes, sir.
So your imagination paints a picture of the future. It can paint the picture that you don't want, or it can paint the picture that you do want. Whatever picture painted is what will develop. And once again, there's no neutrality in this. There's no neutrality in this. Either you're going to paint the picture you want or paint the picture you don't want. You're going to paint one of them pictures. So you might as well make up your mind to paint the picture you want.
Amen.
Are you seeing this? Genesis 11th chapter. We're going to use this. This is a great example of the imagination being used. Verse 1, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad the face of the earth, face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Now, notice this is God talking. God said what they imagined to do, they're not going to be stopped. Here's what I want you to realize. Here's what I want you to understand. Go back to verse 1. Now, I know a lot of times we teach this passage of Scripture for unity, and we teach it for togetherness, and we teach it for as being on the same page, having the same vision. But for this particular class, I want you to take this passage, and I want you to see yourself as an individual with five components of your mind. Your intellect, reasoning, your will, your emotion. We hadn't talked about will yet, but your will, your emotion, your imagination, and your memory. Let me read something to you. And the whole earth was of one language. And the whole, take yourself, and my whole mind was of one language. Do you see this? And my whole mind was of one language. My memory was saying the same thing as my intellect. My intellect saying the same thing as my will. My will saying the same thing as my emotions. My emotions saying the same thing as my memory. Are you seeing this? Yes. And my imagination is saying the same thing as all the other four.
Yes.
Now nothing that they imagine to do it won't be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing this? So your imagination, not only does it create a picture, it gives the other components of your mind something to focus on. So now, if your imagination is correct, it helps keep in check your memory. Because, watch this, we talked about this, and I mentioned this, I think I mentioned this last week, that there are no such thing as bad memories, there's only memories that's unchecked. So memories that are not held accountable, that's unchecked memories, memories that are not held accountable will run rampant. What keeps the memories in check? your imagination. No matter what has happened, this is what I want to happen. No matter what has taken place, this is what will take place. Are you seeing this? The Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind me, I press towards the mark. The mark was his imagination. What God had told him he was going to do. What God revealed to him that he was going to accomplish. He said, I forget those things that are behind me, those things that will try to hinder me, and I press toward. So that pressing toward is a future event. His imagination, what causes him to keep in check his memory. Your imagination keeps in check your emotion. When you don't feel a certain way, then you have to use your imagination to get it back right. Are you seeing this? Your reasoning and your intellect. When you start trying to reason on your own and try to use your own intelligence without the influence of God, your reasoning and your intelligence will go all over the map. But I know the thoughts that I think towards you. That's imagination. Thoughts of what? Peace. Not of evil. To give you, listen to me, to give you an expected end. That's a future place. So when I reason with God and I join my thought process with God, it causes me to keep in check my intellect that says it can't happen. My intellect no longer can say it can't happen, but it will happen. Strongest word in the English dialect. It shall happen. Are you seeing this? Your imagination is very important. Without your imagination, your faith has nothing to grab a hold of. What's the use in getting instructions from God if you have no goal to go toward? If you're dealing with something in your body, you're dealing with a health issue, and your imagination shows you healed. If I don't have that in my imagination, then how am I going to receive instructions to get to that place? See, God said that these people could not be held back from what they imagined to do. So their imagination set the bar. Once the imagination set the bar, everything else began to gravitate towards that. So this is why it's good to dream. I daydream. I used to get in trouble. When I was in school, I used to get in trouble. I would daydream and even when I never forget, my parents had this big, now, I ain't gonna say, but they really battled with my first grade teacher because I wouldn't fit into their program. I would get all the correct answers on whatever little test they would give me, and I'd just forget to put my name on the test. But she knew it was my test. So she would penalize me because I wouldn't put my name on my paper at the time. Well, I understand you trying to get me to go a certain direction, but here it is, I'm penalized, I'm getting the right answers, I'm young, I don't understand this. What happened? Trying to put you in a box. The lesson will become, I would know the lesson, I would understand it, and so I get bored with it. So I start daydreaming, I start seeing myself doing other things, and they tried to put me in special ed, because I chose the daydream. People will try to put you in a box when you daydream. When you dream, people will try to put you in a box. People who dream will always be labeled as a little bit fanatic. People who dream will always see more than what's present. God is a dreamer. How I know God has a great imagination? Because out of all the foolishness we do, he still created a heaven for us to be with him. He's a dreamer. Out of all the sin in the world, he still created a heaven for us to be with him for eternity. And he's expecting us to be there. If that ain't dreaming, I don't know what is. Joseph was a dreamer, using his imagination. See, it's nothing. See, and especially when you're a child of God and God gives you a dream. See, the problem with most Christians is that they don't allow God to give them a dream. They don't let God stretch their imagination. Why they don't let God stretch their imagination? Because the other four components is not on the same page. God will give you a dream that none of your family members ever accomplished. And the first thing your memory say is, they ain't never done this. You ever remember seeing anybody in your family do this? Well, how you think you're going to do this? See? And so you have to let, you have, that's why you have to constantly renew your mind with the word of God so that your mind can be stretched beyond your limited thinking abilities. Have to let it be stretched. You have to put yourself around people that will stretch your imagination. I don't never want to be the smartest person in the room. I don't ever want to be the biggest dreamer in the room. Why? Because that means nobody can't stretch me. I want to hang around people that will cause me to think outside the box, to think outside. See, that's the problem. This is how denominations develop in the church, because nobody wants to think outside the box. They think their revelation is the end to all revelations and that God ain't talking no more, which is a lie. God is always talking. God is always saying something. God is always revealing himself. So therefore, I can't get stuck and be around people who want to dominate, who wants to control, who wants to limit what God wants to do. Because now they're limiting your imagination. The apostolic will never limit your imagination. Never. It encourages you to dream. The apostolic government of God encourages you to dream. The apostolic government of God encourages you to have an imagination. God was so amazed at the imagination of these people in Genesis 11th chapter, that only he himself could do something to detour it. Notice what God messed with. He messed with their language. He didn't mess with their imagination. God messed with their language. He did not mess with their imagination. The imagination is very powerful. A word that's very closely related to imagination that we in the body of Christ, we read this word, and we say this word, but we don't really do this word. Go with me to Joshua, the first chapter. We've let other belief systems, we've allowed other religions to take our word, put a negative connotation on it to where we don't even want to do it. Because a lot of times, when y'all start thinking, when we start talking about meditation, if we don't say meditation in a church, secular church situation, or church, I don't know, if we don't use church lingo somewhere close around meditation, if we don't have Joshua 1 and 8 somewhere close around, we talking about meditation, we get nervous. Because then you start thinking about yoga meditation. Then you start talking about Hindu meditation. Then you start talking about the monks and all that kind of stuff. They got that from us. This is what, this is, watch what, I'm going to show you something that's real key, real key. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Listen to me very closely. This is going to help your dreams. What I'm about to tell you, listen, I feel the Holy Spirit. What I'm about to tell you is going to help develop your dreams. What I'm about to tell you now is going to help you develop your dreams. Watch what this passage says. God talking to Joshua. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make that way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Are y'all seeing this?
Yes,
this book of the law. Question. Let me start the first verse. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is what?
Dead.
All right, he's gone. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the place, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man that be able to stand before thee all the days of life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give to them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, you see that? All the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law, what book of the law? See, this is about to be key. It's going to help your dreams now. What book of the law? The book of the law that came out of the mouth of Moses. Listen to me. This is about to help your dreams now. If you want your dreams expanded, and if you want your dreams to show you a starting point, you have to meditate the words. Listen to me. Meditate the words of your apostolic leadership.
Amen.
Come on, hear me. Hear me now. I want you to hear me. You have to meditate the words of your apostolic leadership. Because this book of the law that God was telling Joshua to meditate was the same book of the law that he gave to Moses. He said that Moses commanded you. He said, don't turn from the left or the right of it.
Come on now.
Are you seeing this? So now we see how our dreams can be expanded. How our dreams can now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Without the apostolic government in place, some dreams that God, even God has shown you, will be fantasy. But as soon as you decide to become apostolically involved, it will shift from fantasy to dream. Now, what's the difference between shifting, what I said earlier? A fantasy never gives you a beginning point. A dream will give you a beginning point. So now when it becomes a dream, you now have a chance to get instructions on how I start this process to become reality in my life. I hope you're hearing me. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. The book of the law that God gave Moses that he revealed to them. God ain't told Joshua nothing new. Matter of fact, go to the 6th chapter. Go to the 6th chapter. Watch this. Talking about imagination. All right, talking about imagination. Now, mind you now, what we about to read didn't just happen. There was some foundation that was set up in the 1st chapter in order for the 6th chapter to happen. God said, hey, look, Joshua, look, my servant, Moses, my servant is dead. All right. Now, I'm going to give you all the land that I promised Moses. Everywhere your feet tread upon, I'm going to give it to you. All right. He said, I'll be with you as I was with Moses. He said, now the law that come out of the mouth of Moses that he commanded you, I want you to hear it. I want you to follow it. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. You need to meditate it so that you can do all that is written therein. And then what's going to happen? You're going to make yourself have good success, right?
Right.
So now we get to this 6th chapter. Now Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. They were close to the place where God had promised them. But there was a problem. There was another group of people occupying it. I want you to hear me. I don't care who is in the place or where you're supposed to be. I don't care what dream you have and it looked like somebody in the way of your dream. I don't care who it is. The land that God had promised the children of Israel had people already there occupying it. Here's something about the apostolic. The apostolic will allow you, thank you, Holy Spirit, I feel the Holy Ghost. The apostolic will allow you to experience your dream before it comes to pass.
Come on now, I believe that.
Who went into Jericho to spy out the land? It was Joshua and Caleb. So they already knew that it was possible for it to happen. So now the issue is now we got to get everybody else on the same page.
Come on.
Watch this. Now Jericho was strictly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, the Lord said unto Joshua, see. See it. See it. Wait a minute now. What is Joshua supposed to be seeing? He got to use his imagination. Because right now they're on the outside of Jericho. They're not on the inside. But God is telling him, I done told you I'm going to give you Jericho. I told you I'm going to be with Moses. As I'm going to be with you as I be with Moses. I told you not to turn to the left or to the right of what Moses said. I told you to meditate these things and you're going to make yourself have good success. I told you everything. Now you come to, just because you come into a bump in the road, don't mean God ain't going to do it.
Yeah.
God told Joshua, now I need your cooperation. I need you to see. See what? See that y'all in Jericho. I need Joshua, I need you to use your imagination.
Now watch this.
Why God needed Joshua to see. He needed Joshua. Here's where meditation comes in at. Whatever situation, if it's which is going to help you. Whenever you're facing a situation or problem, and you need a solution, your imagination, which puts you in a mind frame of victory. When you become, when you get into a mind frame of victory, it makes it easier for the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the pathway to that victory. Go to Mark, the ninth chapter, and we'll come back here. Mark, the ninth chapter. We're almost finished. Mark, the ninth chapter. Mark, the ninth chapter. Jesus said something very powerful. Very powerful in the 23rd verse. We know this scripture, but I want y'all to see it. Jesus said, and Jesus talking to the man that had the son that was deaf and dumb. He said, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, here's the thing about believing. Believing is not hinged upon God. Believing is based on you. Know what believing really simply means? This is what believing, all the things they try to define, believing, how deep they try to make it, this is what believing really is. Are you fully convinced? All right, watch this. If thou canst be fully convinced, all things are possible to him that is fully convinced.
Yeah, that's good.
So now it's my job to take all the tools God has given me. My memory, my will, my intellect, my imagination, to fully convince myself that this can happen.
Yes, sir.
This is why God told Joshua, I need you to see. Because Joshua had to take time, sit down. Yes. See, we read the Bible, we read from one scripture to the other, so we jump. We instantaneously jump from one moment to other. That's not how it works. When God told him see, that means he had to take time to pause, sit down,
get
by himself,
yeah,
and begin to see, okay, God, you told me see us in Jericho. Here's a question. God, I know you can, you already told me you was going to do it, so let me just sit here and imagine how many ways we can get into Jericho. How many ways this can happen? What different ways could possibly happen for us? Because we're going to get in Jericho.
That's right.
You already said it.
Yeah.
How many ways can we get into Jericho? Now you are creating an atmosphere in which God can talk to you. Mm-hmm. Now you're creating an atmosphere of faith in which God can give you instructions on how to properly respond. That's what faith is. Properly responding to the voice of God. So now you create atmosphere because you're convinced that it can happen. See, God could not give Joshua those instructions until he saw. If you don't see, what's the use in giving you instructions? Because you're not going to be convinced. So you're not going to follow them.
Right.
See, if I'm not convinced of something, I'm not going to follow convinced. That's where your emotions come in at. Your emotions are fuel for you to do what God is telling you to do. So now, if I'm unsure, if I lack confidence, if I haven't seen this, if I haven't imagined this, that means God will not be able to clearly give me an instruction on what to do because I'm not going to do it. Why? Because I'm not fully convinced. I'm not emotionally driven to do this. Joshua, the sixth chapter, we close here. Watch this. I hope y'all caught that point about meditating your apostolic leader's words. I hope you caught that. I hope you really caught that, because God was not talking about, we've been preaching it that way. We've been preaching it, talking about the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But at that particular moment, God was talking about Joshua meditating what Moses had said. Which is leading up to this moment right here. So Thank you, Holy Spirit. If Joshua had been meditating anything else beside what Moses had said and what Moses had commanded, they wouldn't be right here.
That's right. That's right.
Because God has just been talking to Moses about the promised land.
Right, right.
So if Joshua had not been meditating that, he wouldn't have been able to see themselves.
Right.
In Jericho.
Yes, sir.
Why is it you can't see yourself in your wealthy place? Why is it you can't see yourself in your wealthy place? Is it because you pay attention to your family? Is it because you pay attention to your family history? Is it because you pay attention to your job? Is that why you, or should you be meditating on the words of your apostolic leader? Which will help paint a picture of your future.
Yes, sir.
When your future is being painted and you become convinced of it, you're creating an atmosphere for God to give you instructions on how to get to that future.
That's good.
He's already paid for it. Right? He became poor that through his what? Poverty. I know the thoughts that I think of you. Thoughts of peace, wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken, everything in its place. Not of evil, to give you an expected end. Are you seeing this? All right, watch this. Joshua the 6th chapter. He told Joshua, see, I have given into thy hands Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Verse 3 is a result of Joshua using his imagination. Joshua could not receive verse 3 until he had completed verse 2. I don't know how much time lasts between verse 2 and 3. But all I know is he had to see. You have to see yourself. See, do not let what I'm about to say become cliche to you, because we've stumbled onto something tonight. We've stumbled onto something tonight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You have to see yourself out of debt.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay, okay. What's the foundation for me seeing myself out of debt? Meditating the words of my apostolic leader.
Right.
When I meditate the words of Apostle Thompson and all his messages,
yes, sir,
I begin to paint a picture of my future.
Oh, my.
Come on, hear me. I begin to paint a picture of my future. Once I paint that picture of that of my future, now it creates an atmosphere in which God can give me the starting point to reach that future.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how long it may take.
Yes, sir.
That's irrelevant. You just need to get a picture.
Yes,
you get a picture based on meditating the words of your apostolic leader.
Yes, sir,
Joshua got a picture of taking over Jericho because he meditated the words of Moses.
Amen.
Amen. Are y'all seeing this?
Yes, sir.
He said, verse 3, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thou shalt do 6 days. Now here's another thing about God. You have to have meditated. Joshua had to have this so much on the inside of him that when God began to give him these instructions, it wasn't no question about how crazy it was.
Right.
It wasn't no, he was fully convinced. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hear me now, hear me, because this is how I've learned to hear, this is how I've learned to hear the voice of God. Mm-hmm. Meditating the voice of your apostolic leader will train you to hear the voice of God.
True.
Joshua had meditated so much of what Moses said that he could recognize when God was talking. That's training. That's maturity. Samuel, watch this. Samuel paid attention so much to Eli that God had to use Eli's voice to get Samuel's attention. Samuel kept running to Eli and said, did you call me? Did you call me? So obviously, he had to think that was Eli calling. Eli perceived, said, hey, the next time you hear that voice say, God, I'm here. Hear your servant. What you want me to do? Eli perceived that it was God talking to him using his voice.
Amen.
Because he had paid so close attention to Eli's training that God said, I'm going to use Eli's voice to get his attention.
Yeah.
Joshua meditated what Moses said so much so he was able to recognize God's instructions no matter how crazy they were. Are you kidding me? We need to go to war. We got to take this city over. And you want us to just march around? He had to have understood and learned the voice of God to be able to take those instructions, take the old set of instructions over the natural course of instructions. Natural course of instructions say, get the army ready. Get the men ready to fight. We're gonna storm this wall. But because he meditated what Moses said and got it so much in his spirit, he was able to find those. See, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. When you meditate the words of your apostolic leader, you're now positioning yourself for the inner secrets of how God wants to get things done. You now position yourself to receive the wisdom, the manifold wisdom of God. These instructions that God gave Joshua was nothing but wisdom. Because you, who in a right mind is going to march around a wall 7 times? God said he gave us this land. All I've known is when you take something, you got to go fight for it. But here this time, God is telling us, he wants to march around the wall 7 times and then make some noise at the end. And through that wisdom, the wall fall inward. They don't fall outward, they fall inward. Now let's follow this train of thought. Let's follow this. When Joshua meditated the words of Moses, it began to create a picture. He was able to develop a picture of them taking Jericho. When he got the imagination settled on we're in Jericho, God was able to give him the instructions on what to do. God was able to give him wisdom on what to do. When they followed that, those instructions or followed that train of wisdom, they were able to walk in the land full of milk and honey. Listen at me now. Listen at me. Sweatless. You can walk into your place of prosperity, wholeness, peace, sweatless. How do I do that? I do that by meditating the apostolic leader's words. Apostolic leadership words. My pastor. Who my pastor may leave in delegated authority. Are y'all getting this?
Yes, sir.
Because God was very adamant about this. You see, this is one of the things we miss, the imagination. God gave Joseph his dream. And the dream he gave Joseph was much bigger than Joseph probably could have imagined. Why don't you let God give you your dream? Won't you let God mold your imagination? How did God mold Joshua's imagination? Through the words of Moses. I hope y'all hearing me. Your picture, your imagination of your future is going to be painted by you meditating the words of apostolic leadership. We just found it. I hope by the Christ to hear that. Because this is, we've been taking Joshua 1:8 and been trying to allude it to the whole Bible. When we didn't even take it at face value of what God was saying. God said this. He didn't say the book of the law. He said this. So this meaning something very specific. And when you run reference, you see they're talking about the law that come out of the mouth of Moses that he had commanded Moses. Amen. I hope you're seeing this. So we're going to continue our imagination. We come back off a break. But our imagination is it paints pictures of our future. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Your imagination is going to paint a picture of your future. Which future do you want? Once again, don't get it twisted. You'll be neutral on this. This ain't gonna be no neutrality. Your imagination is gonna paint a picture. Either you're gonna have nightmares, or you're gonna have beautiful dreams. You're gonna have one or the other. You have to make the choice. We just find out tonight how we can make that choice. I mean, Days of Our Lives, Law and Order SUV, SVU, Special Victim Unit. I love it. I watch it. I love it. They ain't painting no picture.
That's right.
I'll never forget, a businessman told me this one time, and I'm going to close with this. I'm going to close by what, 6-7 times? Businessman told me, he said, he called me one Sunday afternoon, and he told me to come riding with him. And I went riding with him. And I was in college. I wanted to, Sunday evening, I want to watch NFL, I watch football, I want to chill out that evening. And he called. He said, I called you on purpose this Sunday evening. I said, yes, sir. He said, you sitting there watching football, weren't you? I said, yes, sir, I sure was. He said, let me tell you something. He said, you sitting there watching football while they making money. He said, I called you out here so you can learn so that you don't have to be sitting there wishing that you can make the money they make. You can sit there and watch them knowing that you can make the money they make. What's my point? My point is for telling you that is that when you watching Law and Order, SVU, them actors, they done made their money. They done got paid already for entertaining you.
That's right.
So you need to take some of that time and go get some of them archives.
Yeah.
To help paint your own picture and get your own money.
That's good.
Y'all got me?
Yes, sir.
I see y'all after the break.